Audacity.
Nevis Premier Mark Brantley produces figures to show that Charlestown is not getting its fair share of CBI funds. I am Ken Richards with today's Caribbean News Roundup. Premier of Nevis Mark Brantley on Thursday cited figures intended to show that, as he contends, that the smaller partner in the Federation is not receiving its fair share of CBI funds, while St. Kitts continues to get the lion's share of those funds. Brantley at a press conference yesterday said that has been the case in the 15 years of Citizenship by Investment Programme funds coming into the Federation. The Nevis Premier, who is also the Foreign Affairs Minister in the federal government, is reiterating that the Charlestown Accord that the three-party coalition agreed to prior to the 2015 general election was intended to ensure that Nevis gets its fair share of those funds. Brantley says that is still not happening today and quoted the figures that back his case. According to Mark Brantley's latest assessment, Bastia should be getting 75% of the funds and Charlestown 25%. Here are some of the figures he announced at the press conference.
From 2007 until 2021, representing 15 years of CBI receipts, the Federation of St. Kitts and Nevis got into Bastia $5,145,702,943. $5,145,702,943. Of that, the island of Nevis received $371,989,817. Our sister St. Kitts received $4,773,713,126. Over that period then, from 2007 until 2021, the island of Nevis received 7.2% of CBI receipts, with a population of 25% of the country, we received 7.2% of CBI receipts. And as I indicated, those amounts from the SIDF prior to 2015 were labeled loans. I want to be very clear, and for members of the press to be very clear in terms of what I'm saying. This is not any attack on the people of St. Kitts. This is saying that the institutions that we have sought to put in place to serve our people have failed the people of Nevis.
At last Saturday's annual conference of Prime Minister Timothy Harris's People's Labour Party, PLP leader Harris apparently ridiculed one of the measures that were included in the Charlestown Accord that Premier Brantley has been emphasising were agreed to by the People's Action Movement, the Concerned Citizens Movement, and Dr. Harris's People's Labour Party.
So sometimes you hear, well, the parata. The parata is in 110.
A new report in Jamaica with concerns about human rights violations. Human rights group Jamaicans for Justice has raised questions about equal justice for all Jamaicans at a policy summit on the state of justice in Jamaica. The summit was held on Wednesday. More in this TVG News report.
While acknowledging legislative changes to address crime, the JFJ State of Justice report reflected serious human rights violation for the 2020-2021 period. JFJ says it has had over 290 cases of human rights abuse, the majority of which were related to states of emergency SOEs. However, JFJ Executive Director Mikkel Jackson noted that police killings and the apparent delay or absence of justice are concerning.
We have the families of victims who were killed. They are left grieving. They are left in their struggles for justice. And it's on that reason that JFJ is unapologetic about our position on certain things.
The group points to the police still not wearing body cameras in several cases of police shootings, as noted by an Indicom 2021 report, as part of the lack of accountability that may support injustice. Some 35 police officers are now awaiting trial for murder or manslaughter, charged, but the court cases continue to drag on. They say violations under the SOEs, as described by victims, were also concerning.
Speaking with the detainees and the persons who brought their cases to JFJ, what we found out is that significant to their experiences were the fact that they were detained without any cause, detained within the communities, detained from their homes. They weren't given any communication or offered any legal aid once they were detained. Their family members had no information about the process when they were detained. And in extreme circumstances, you had persons who were detained up to a year.
They want the government to denounce these and all forms of human rights violations. While acknowledging the concerns raised by the report, Legal and Constitutional Affairs Minister Marlene Malahu-Fort insists there is a greater threat to human rights and the society.
It is not the state at this time that is impacting the rights of the citizens of Jamaica in a negative way. It is fellow citizens who believe they can do whatever they want, criminally so, heartlessly so, egregiously so, with impunity.
She argued that legislative changes are being made to address the issues raised. Herman Green, TVJ News.
What was expected to be the start of a series of walks around capital city Roseau went off successfully on Wednesday, the organizers of that walk said. Activist Arthur Mate, who led the walk, explained what was achieved by that walk, dubbed Walk for Peace, Prosperity and Freedom.
We reminded ourselves that we have the power, but we have to take a hold of it. We can make change.
Yes.
We together can defy this government,
yes,
or any government. We can make justice a reality by standing up for our right, standing up for our obligation to protect our constitution and the law. I believe what we got out of today is a sense of uplift, a sense that hope is alive. Hope for change is alive, but also it only becomes hope if we stand up, if we don't be afraid, if we agree to mobilize.
The walk was organized by a group of individuals representing political parties, the private sector, religious and civil society organizations, calling for good and accountable governance on the island. The scores of Dominicans who turned up came despite Police Chief Daniel Cabon having warned ahead of Wednesday's event that the organizers needed permission from the police for that undertaking. The walk included various stops where brief speeches and words of support were delivered. Some of those who spoke included opposition leader Lennox Linton and businessman Herbert Suki Winston.
We're being treated unjustly by a government that has decided we're not good enough for them.
Amen.
Remember, we are the people with the power. We the people have the power, and we the people transfer that power to individuals to run the affairs of government, not to make our lives miserable.
Now Dominicans are saying, I am not violating, I am just demonstrating my belief based on my affiliation to those who join me.
This is democracy. People participating in what the country is supposed to be. This is what we should be standing for our democratic rights.
And I am proud to be here because I love Dominica. And we have to stand firm for us to remove this government there because our life is in a miserable life.
Those taking part in the walk insisted that it was their right to do so and required no permission. One of the key concerns had to do with the Dominica-Syria diplomatic relations saga and the fallout from that development. the Dominica Freedom Party, the Dominica United Workers Party, and the National Joint Action Movement had expressed, quote, grave concern, end quote, over the statement of Chief of Police Cabon, in which he demanded permission be sought by those involved by first applying to him as Chief of Police before setting out to walk in the Dominican capital, Roseau. Just 2 days after the Trinidad Ministry of Works Road Safety Council was appointed, a woman lost her life in a collision with a 10-ton truck, as TV6 reports.
Transport Minister Rohan Sinanan confirms to TV6 that the ministry is expecting a police report on the matter. Meantime, the Acting Commissioner of Police is advising of a crackdown on errant truck drivers and other reckless behaviors. Renessa Cutting reports.
42-year-old Saraka Ramasa became this country's 26th road fatality for 2022 on Wednesday after a 10-ton truck carrying lumber ran off the road and crashed into a parked vehicle. The accident happened mere days after the Transport Minister announced the rollout of the road safety. Which will enforce and oversee safety and security measures on the nation's roads. In announcing the launch, Minister Sinanan had said emphasis will be placed on monitoring heavy vehicles moving forward.
So that once we see a truck on a route that it was not licensed for, penalties can be applied to that truck. Because most of the infringements on the road network has to do with overweight vehicles on roads that they were not designed for.
Contacted today, Minister Sinanan noted that the police investigation into the accident is still underway. So at this time, his ministry has no information on whether the truck driver may have been at fault. He says the ministry is awaiting the police report. Acting Police Commissioner McDonald Jacob confirms that the matter is under active investigation. Jacob says the TTPS is preparing to launch a new patrol policy, which will see patrol teams at strategic locations across the country.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Friday, 31st March. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. At 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.